the usability expert who I love so much, Jacob Nielsen, useit.com, visit it. You love it too, is all about the rule of seven. Human beings can only handle seven choices. When you do studies and you give people, you know, pick red or pick blue, they can very quickly pick blue, pick red. They're there. Once you give them three choices, once you give them four choices, five choices, six choices, seven choices, it slows down a little bit. There's a huge gulf of almost a second between giving someone seven choices and having them pick one, and giving them eight choices and having them pick one. And that second is responsible for the frustration most people feel when they go to a website, which seems cluttered. You can beat the rule of seven by doing two groups of four, where there is some hierarchy to it, where it's, you know, this is for vendors, these four links. For agencies, those four links. But you're really just creating two choices. So people make the choice of two, and then they can make a choice of four really quickly. But the other thing that happens is when you've got more than seven, at seven, it's pretty easy to prioritize what should be the first, what should be second, you know, what's last, and the things in the middle kind of fall together. Once you get to 8, 9, 10 options on the left, you start desperately wanting to alphabetize them. And then, you know, if you look at, let's say, group benefits, and well, it could be the Office of Group Benefits. So we could put it under O, we could put it under G, but it's so important. Let's just put the word benefits there, and then that way, alphabetically, it's right at the top. So you start prioritizing by changing the words that are there so you can alphabetize better. So if you keep it to seven buckets of information, then you do pretty well. The other thing that it used to be, back in the good old days from 97 to 2003, that everybody had dial-up, everybody had slow computers, and you didn't want anything to be more than three clicks away from the homepage. Some cases, two clicks away from the homepage, that you never wanted somebody to have to drill down to get to content. The days of fast access, most people are using the internet at the office, and the reason for that is because if you pick up a newspaper at the office and you kick your heels up on the desk and you flip through and you read it, people can tell you're not working. But if you wiggle the mouse around and you click on things, then it looks like you're the most productive employee in the world. My mother-in-law had a boss pedal. Has anybody ever had a boss pedal? The USB device clicks into the back of the computer, and you hit it, and it pulls up a spreadsheet. It was actually created for legitimate purposes to allow you to alt-tab quicker between the things that you had, but got sold for a while there as a boss pedal. Anyway, the idea now is, and I use the metaphor of a subdivision. So if you think about, you drive into the subdivision, and it's a good old-fashioned, you know, traditional neighborhood development or something like that. And you come down the boulevard, and it's clearly a big road, and there are clearly labeled street signs which tell you where to go, and you have directions which tell you to take a right at this street. Then you take a left at that street, then you take another left, and then you take a right, and it's the fourth house on the left. You don't have any problem driving that. What's a problem is when street sign's down. You don't know if you should take this left or that left. That one's kind of a street, but maybe it's a driveway. Is it really the second street? As you drive on a street and then you have to back up, turn around, go back, and you start looking some more, that's when you get frustrated. The cul-de-sac, the dead end, those things which don't allow you to find your way. When urban planners are talking about street design, they say you shouldn't have cul-de-sacs or dead ends. Every street should be a grid where you can take a right, a left, or go straight. And the idea on the web these days is that you shouldn't have a hierarchical organization of information. Although we always kind of have to start with that so that people can find what they're looking for. But, you know, you should not have this as your website. You should have this linking to that, and that linking to that, and that links up to that, where there's an actual, it's in the name, World Wide Web of information where people don't have to start at the beginning, read the middle, and get to the end of the book. They can actually kind of scan the table of contents, end up where they're going. Does anybody remember the old books? They were actually really, really, really popular. Most popular set of series of books in the known publishing universe, Choose Your Own Adventure. There were books where you'd like read a chapter, at the end of the chapter it'd say, do you go into the cave or do you call your mother? You know, and if you go into the cave, you skip to page 82. That's more of the experience that people have on the web, is they're constantly making choices and going different places. There should never be one way to get to a piece of content. Now, the content should always be in one place so that you're not updating the same document in six different places. I mean, the whole point of hyperlinking is that you link to the same piece of content which lives in one place, and you don't have to go in and update it here and update it there and update it there and update it there. With a few exceptions, and that is when you update content, you invariably need to update your homepage. So in theory, you should be only updating in two pages at any given time. But using the sort of rule of seven thing, we would start to reduce this. We'll have a home link for this office that will be as part of the header. We'll have these guys that will be as part of the header. And then these things, we'll start to try and create more parity between them, where we don't have acronyms mixed with long names, and we don't have long names mixed with action-based. We try to start grouping those navigation items so that they make sense on some level. Where, you know, you've got your performance-based budgeting, and then you've got the PBB forms and guidelines. You could actually, if you wanted to keep it visible all the time, just make it a little sub-nav, that it's sort of, you know, a direct link in the navigation, but it's less important because people will look for performance-based budgeting and then forms and guidelines kind of underneath that. I know how that sort of thing happens. It happens because somebody somewhere tried to go and find the form for the PBB, a form, and when they couldn't find it, they wrote a letter to, or an email, very quickly fired off a well-written letter which explained that they had this one small form that they were unable to find on the site. Or more likely, you know, couldn't find it, the site is worthless, it's useless, it doesn't find anything, I can't find anything. You know, they don't tell you what it was that they were trying to find. And they send that to some random person in state government that probably doesn't even work at the division. And that person forwards it to somebody else who forwards it to somebody else who forwards it to somebody else who forwards it to somebody else. Seven people later, everyone knows how useless and worthless your site is and how they can't find anything on it. And you get the memo, which basically says to you, put this on the homepage or put it on the main navigation, and we're going to attempt to be less reactive because we're going to plan better so that those things hopefully don't happen as often. Another thing that, you know, probably can go away is this links link, because most people don't go to a site and say, I wonder what links they link to. You know, but you can absolutely take those links and embed them in content. Put them as a related link next to your description of a process. Related link, here's the link to that Secretary of State's corporation database I was just talking about. There's words here describing something, and this might be the link that you're looking for. Because, again, people come there for their own purposes to accomplish a task, so we want to give them all of the metadata to help them accomplish that task, a little bit of the description if they're actually going to read anything that might tell them how to accomplish that task. But they're not going to go just sort of looking for links. It's kind of a philosophical discussion we've been having that, you know, some people want to know, feel like there should be a box of, these are the things you can do online. I use the example of the newspaper where, you know, the things you could do online were place a wedding notice, you could place an obituary notice, or you could place a classified ad. And I think to my site visitor, do they go to the site and then see that they can place a death notice online? So they decide to do that today. I mean, it's not something that you know, where those things have any rhyme or reason to be grouped together, except that they can all be done online. What's better is if we highlight in the wedding section, place your wedding notice online. You can do this online. You can do this online, so that people who are interested in that content are able to see that this is something you can execute online, as opposed to that sort of, you know, world where it's like, I want to start a new company. I wonder what things I can do online. Well, if I went to a page in the Secretary of State's office which had a list of, here's the things you need to do as a new company, here are the forms you need to print and bring in, here are the things you can do online, then that is exciting to me. But if I go to, you know, look at what RFPs there are, I don't want to necessarily be cluttered with the other things that I could do online that are unrelated to what I'm doing. And then again, a lot of directors love to have their mission on the homepage. And I am all about making directors happy. So what we want to do is, if we have to put the mission on the homepage because somebody wants it to be there, and on some level maybe it should be because it is a starting place for who you are and what you do, you can do in content links which make that mission statement, A, scannable, so that people can kind of scan through and see the words that matter, and B, useful, so that instead of just being a big group of words, if this said, you know, budget-related services, and that was linked to a budget page that was an overall budgeting page, and then you said, you know, policy development, and that was linked to the policy development process document, which lets you know more about that, or performance database, you know, and that links actually to the database or to a description of the project, then you're using this blah blah text, which is, you know, the technical term for it, because people just gloss over it, and it could, you know, be like, you know, the teacher in Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah. You know, they don't read it. And now it suddenly becomes a useful thing. Because the point of hyperlinking is not just to link people to the content, but it's also to draw attention. So if certain words in this document were bold, in a color, underlined, then they draw the eye. So all of a sudden, this, which looks like just blah blah text and I should be reading on my navigation to figure out where to go, it suddenly becomes useful to me as a site visitor. Site visitors also love bullets. They absolutely love things, list items in a list. So bulleting this, excellent. Very good idea, because they like that. It's how people read on the web. No one comes to the website saying, I would like to read a 20-page document which gives me all the information I could ever want about something, even if that 20-page document actually would give them all of the information. They would much rather read that 20-page document in 20 different pages of one paragraph each with a chart and a list. You know, because on some level it fits the pace of life in a better way, and also allows them to self-service, self-select the nuggets of information that they want and string them together in the order that they want it. I mean, I used the example earlier of a book where you don't come and read the first page and then read the next page and then read the next page and then read the next page. It's like on some level you construct the story of an organization yourself by, you know, old-fashioned surfing through a website. So what else do we need to talk about your site before I leave it? Sorry.